Okay. So, for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Matthew Kim, and I have been one of the original members at Hill Community Church. My family went away to Netherlands for about 4 years. We recently came back, so we're happy to be here. And yeah, so today, when Pastor Ray asked me to speak on his behalf, he thought maybe I can share my salvation testimony because not many of you have heard that, and some of you have, and some of you have been there. But so I wanted to do that, and how, from that point and on, how God has guided my life, and there's one important lesson that I want to share, so we'll go over that. But before we go there, let's turn to John 3:3. It's a short verse. This is in the context of when Jesus met Nicodemus and he was speaking to him. So John 3:3 says, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And the next part that I want to turn to is Philippians 3:7-11. So that says, this is Apostle Paul writing to the Philippians, and this verse comes after he lists out all his accomplishments. So Philippians 3:7-11. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." And then the last verse that I want to read is Matthew 10:34-39. And that one says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." You might be wondering what these three verses, how they're related. But hopefully by the end of the message, it will all come together for you. So if I go way back in the beginning, I'm not going to go way, way back, but basically, before I went to college, I went to a very small church. I think our youth group, you can count them in one hand sometimes, or on a good day, maybe it requires two hands. And so going to church wasn't something that we look forward to very much. Well, I didn't look forward to very much. There wasn't a lot that was going on, and we didn't have a very stable environment. We had a rotation of teachers coming in and out, so it wasn't that enjoyable. But at least on my part, I was very self-righteous, so I just kept telling my parents, I feel like this is not how church should be. So as I was preparing to go to college, one of the things that I really wanted, that I was looking for, was a quote-unquote a full church experience, where you have a lot of people, people are gathering together, having very good worship time, having a lot of fellowship with people, doing a lot of service and things like that. That's what I was looking for as I was going to college. And lo and behold, I did find that in college. So I really liked that. When I encountered that kind of experience, I was immediately drawn to it. And most importantly, I really met the Lord for the first time, I feel like, in the fall retreat of my freshman year. And that was my first born-again experience. And as Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I felt like I saw the kingdom of God for the first time. And all my life, even though our church didn't seem all that great during youth group times, I thought I was a very decent person. I mostly listened to my parents. And when I went to church, all the adults told me I was a good boy, so I just took that in. I went to church every Sunday, and I hung out with church friends throughout the week, so I thought I was a good Christian boy. And what really shocked me at the retreat that I went to, it was given by a missionary to Afghanistan. He was telling me about this person who was a Muslim and found out about Jesus and became a Christian. And he literally had to paid with his life for the faith that he professed. And I think if you go to church for long enough, you kind of know that missionaries are out there risking their lives to share the gospel. But then, for whatever reason, I had a major disconnect. So that I just felt like, okay, there are people out there, but that never hit me personally, that there are people living like that as a Christian. And I was really ashamed of myself, my Christian life up to that point. And I was so shielded and sheltered from all of those. And it was my own life and my own concerns and all my complaints that was at the center stage. So when I heard from somebody who witnessed firsthand how somebody was willing to risk their life for Jesus, that immediately opened my eyes, and I realized the kind of life that I was living and professing to be a Christian wasn't really living as a Christian. So on that day, I think it was second or third day of the retreat, there was an altar call, and then I responded. Jesus called me and I answered. And from that moment and on, I decided to follow Jesus for the rest of my life, and even if it cost my life. And I think that's something that I go back all the time, that even as I go through hardship and difficulties or whatever life throws at me, I always go back to that time and say, I decided to give my life to Jesus so that it's a good point to go back to for me. And I don't think I really knew what I was saying, but I think in a way Holy Spirit convicted me that Jesus is worth my life. And as I learn more about Christian life, I get a little deeper glimpse of what it means to really give your life to Jesus. So I'm very grateful for that. So that's how I became saved. Actually, even up to that point, I wasn't really seeking out. I wasn't going to that church that I went to the retreat very regularly, but the retreat became a catalyst for me to get more involved and really find this group that I was looking for. And initially, after I invited Jesus into my heart, I loved spending time with Jesus. I loved reading his word. Believe it or not, bunch of us met at 6 a.m. every day to read the Bible together. I think as a result, my 8th grade, 8 a.m. classes really suffered because I would wake up at 5:45 and go to this meeting where we read the word together and shared. But looking back, it was really a sweet time with the Lord. It was a great time. I think it's your first love when you really encounter Jesus truly for the first time. You want to know more about him, learn more about him, spend time with him. But from then on, if you don't know, Pastor Ray and I go way back, and we went to the same church. Same for Daniel. And I had similar experience as Pastor Ray. Church and ministry became focus. The difference between Pastor Ray and me was Pastor Ray was really good at ministry. He reached out to a lot of people. He helped other people become Christians. A lot of seekers, he met with them, had lunch with them, and just a lot of pouring out of heart to unbelievers and people who were seeking. I was not good at ministry. It was, as much as I tried, it wasn't something that really I was able to do well. So, so I felt a lot of guilt in a way, because when you read the Bible, you feel like, you know, you need to go out there, gather the harvest, and produce a lot of fruit. And this was my old understanding of what bearing fruit meant. I think Pastor Ray has over the years clarified that bearing fruit is your character, how you become more like Christ rather than bearing fruit out in the field. Of course, that is part of it too, but when Jesus is talking about bearing fruit, he's talking about bearing fruit within. But because I didn't really have that grasp back then, I felt a lot of guilt at church because I felt like, you know, no one was becoming Christian through me. So the way that I dealt with that was I did a lot of stuff. I did a lot of service so that I feel like I'm contributing to the church activities. So because I was not good at ministry, I focused on being very loyal to church, and I did whatever I can to serve. So I did, you name it, I did it. I did. I taught youth. I was part of the band. I led band. I would go to church early to set up and do everything to take down whenever we had a picnic. We were the 6 a.m. crew, go out there, set everything up. So I did a lot of service. And at least that made me feel a little bit better about myself, I think. And because I spent so much time at church and time with people at church, I developed a very tight relationship with a small group of people. And they literally became my entire world. We spent almost all of waking hour together, besides going to work and having set aside some time for family. The rest of the time I spent with the church people. Looking back, I feel like we spend a lot of time together, but we just spend a lot of time together and we talked a lot about Jesus, but we, as a result of doing that, I didn't have a lot of time for Jesus, just me and Jesus. So instead of trusting in Jesus for life decisions and with my life, I navigated my life based on my own wisdom, what I have gathered up to that point. And if I felt like that wasn't enough, I would ask other people who have more life experience and navigate my life that way, instead of turning to Jesus and asking him for guidance. I don't think Jesus likes that very much. That's what I can say looking back now. Jesus wanted me. He wanted me to trust him wholeheartedly. He wanted me to let me know that he is truly all I need. And the cliche is, you know, Jesus is the answer for everything, right? And I think as a Christian, you hear that and you believe it in your head. But to act on that takes a lot of faith. And because I had all these things that I built up for myself, that was like hiding Jesus behind it. And I felt like when I was looking at that, I was looking at Jesus. Jesus, he had to rock the world that I built, basically. The world that I had created around me that took place of Jesus and draw me in closer to him. So the church that I held so dear, the people that I had spent so much of my life, the church split, and it was like a nuclear bomb. It went, and then the network of churches became quote-unquote independent, but there was a lot of back and forth, and it became really messy. Because the church split, the people split as well. And there were a group of people who tried to salvage whatever we could salvage, gathering the pieces and try to do, you know, what you call in software industry version 2.0. But Jesus, he showed me that I needed to leave all that behind. Jesus wanted to do something new with my life. And he's always doing something new for my sake, so that I may acknowledge him and praise him as I witness the new things that he's doing in my life to draw me closer to him. Isaiah 43:18-21, this is a famous passage where God is telling Isaiah, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise." So this moment in my life, I feel like I was being born again, if that makes sense. And that's why I refer to that passage in Philippians where Apostle Paul, he said, "I consider whatever I have gained." Apostle Paul, he considered everything that he gained in his life as rubbish compared to knowing Christ. And just like Apostle Paul, "I consider whatever I had gained up to that point a loss for the sake of knowing Christ." And if you compare my resume to Apostle Paul's, I don't think I can, it's not really a fair comparison. I feel like I could list out things, just like Apostle Paul. I had this, I had church, I had people, I had built up all these things. Jesus was telling me, just let it all go and I will do something new in your life. So because Jesus asked me to, I let them go. I think difficulty in life is not everyone wants to let go. It's really hard, right? Because you're letting go of something that you have invested so much of your life into. And once you invest a lot of your life into something, when you are compelled to let them go, you go through this thought process of thinking, well, I have done this for 10 years, I have 15, 20 years. If I let it go now, what do those 10, 15, 20 years mean? So because you don't want to ask those kind of questions and you don't want your efforts to feel like it was all for nothing, it's really difficult to let go. Or you could also feel like something is being taken away from you. You built something up 10, 15, 20 years, now it's all shattered and scattered, and you still want that, but it was forcibly taken away from you. So you try to hold it with your dear life and try to make something from that again. But when I was going through that passage in Philippians, part of me felt like, why not? Why not, right? Because if you can let all that go and get to know Jesus more, better, more intimately, more personally, it's worth it. And I think these are the times when I go back to my original commitment, saying that I'm gonna give up my life for Jesus. And the more that I live my Christian life, I realize it's not just necessarily literally giving up your fleshly life and just literally dying. That's not the only way you give up, you surrender your life to Jesus. Surrendering your life to Jesus means just everyday thing. Even when, as you're alive, your will is so strong. Surrendering your will to Jesus, that's also giving up your life to Jesus and letting Him control your life. So Jesus had mercy on me, and I was able to let it go. And this is basically the one lesson that I want to communicate to you. And I feel like if you don't understand this lesson, your past has a very strong grip on you, and it will pull you down whenever you're trying to, whenever you are at a stage where Jesus is pulling you in. If you are able to let go of your past, it will pull you down and work against what Jesus is trying to do. And I have witnessed this firsthand in some of the people that I was very close to, the group of people that I spent a lot of time with, because they were unable to let go of their past. They had a really hard time trying to move on with their spiritual life, and it caused a lot of pain and struggles because the past comes back and haunts you all the time. Well, what about this? What did this mean? What was I doing back then? And I kind of see it almost like, it's not quite, but I think it's similar. If you have ever tried to do ministry before, and that person seems so close, they're understanding the Bible, they're grasping what you're trying to teach them, and they realize that Jesus could be the answer for their life. But then because of whatever baggage that they were carrying in the past, they can't make that final leap and say, I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. The only difference in this scenario is these people have made that leap to trust Jesus with all their life, but then whatever baggage they built up after they became a Christian is holding them back from deepening their relationship with Jesus. So it's really sad for me to witness that, and my prayer is that if there's anything in your past that you feel like is holding you back and you want to move further from that point, that you would pray to Jesus and ask Him to set you free from your past. And I firmly believe that He will. He will not let the past get in the way between you and Jesus. And He will start something new in your life. So when I look back on how the church split and everything, there were a lot of issues. But I think at a very high level, what it came down to was the question, who is Jesus to you? How do you see Him? What do His words mean? When Jesus says, who do people say I am, right? He asks His disciples. It's the same question. And based on how you answer His question, and based on your view toward Jesus, you will find that you lose people. And I think this is exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. So at the point of the breakup, initially you feel like we all share the same ideas and we all want the same thing. But as time passed on, I saw that, no, we were seeing things very differently. We were interpreting text in the Bible very differently. We understood what a church should be differently. And these are all the answers to questions that Jesus asked. Who do you say I am? And I realized that, you lose people as a result of how you answer this. And you realize that the path that you end up choosing is a lonely path. There's not as many people there. I used to really take comfort in the fact that the group that I belonged to was this really large group that was being recognized and was like even considered a model for other church to follow. Once I sat on this path, this is it, right here in this living room. You end up losing a lot of people. But when you do find people who answer the same way, the question that Jesus asked you, then it's like you found your mother and brothers, just like in Mark 3. You know, when Jesus' mother and brothers came and the disciples said, oh, your mother and brother are waiting for you outside. And then Jesus said, who are my mother and who are my brothers? They're the people who follow the will of God. So there's this instant connection. When you find them, you feel like, oh, I found people who actually see Jesus the way I see him. And that you can take great comfort in that. And people who are on this journey to know Jesus at all costs. It's very comforting and refreshing, and Jesus, he puts those people in your life. So even though it's kind of lonely, but you can bear walking through that narrow path because you have these kind of people in your life. And this process of letting go doesn't end. I had this initial moment of letting things go. But when I look at my spiritual journey from that point, there are times when I went down a path that I thought Jesus was leading me through, and then I realized, oh, this is not the right way. But I invested 6 months of my life or a year of my life into this, so what do I do? But then I go back to that same point and say, okay, I just let it go and then let Jesus lead me back to the path that I should be on. So if you have heard one of my messages many years ago, I'm probably the only one who remembers the messages, but one time I shared about the lessons that I learned as I was seeking spiritual gifts. So if you have been with this church for a long time, there was a period where many of us were seeking supernatural spiritual gifts. And I was really gung-ho about it, and I wanted some spiritual gifts, whether it's healing or speaking in tongues or prophecy or whatever. I wanted something because I went down the path of, okay, Bible says it's there and God wants me to have it. And of course, if he wants me to have it, I should have it. And so I went down that path. But after a while, I realized I shouldn't go after the gifts. But that's kind of secondary. I need to go after Jesus. And if Jesus, in his perfect timing, thinks that, okay, at this moment, maybe I'll give you the gift of tongues and it will edify you and help other people. Or I'll give you a gift of healing or whatever. But that's all secondary. And the most important thing is having Jesus. So I dropped my quest for spiritual gifts. Not that I don't want it anymore, but that focus no longer mattered to me. it was more about knowing Jesus, getting to know him, and just letting him lead my life. So, so to close, I just want to say once again that this is one of the, I feel like this is one of the biggest lessons of my, it's like over 20 years, close to 25 years of faith journey, that don't get beholden to your past. Just as you were able to let go of your past as you became a Christian, the constant process of constant process of being born again, again and again, so that you can be renewed by the Holy Spirit. That you need to practice that and believe that Jesus will pull you through at every moment. And don't be afraid to let go of your past. I think many Christians are afraid, many non-Christians are afraid to let go of their past, but when Jesus comes, he will make all things new and give you new things that are even better than what you were holding on to. And he will help you build something that's stronger, built on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. And those precious little things that you build on top of that, those will never fall. And if they never meant to be there, and Jesus will knock them out, and he will build things that are meant to be there. Yeah, so that's all I had for you. I hope it will be helpful to your spiritual journey. So let's all pray together. Dear Heavenly Father God, I'm so thankful that I was able to share my testimony, my faith journey in you. I pray that if there's anyone in this room who have a difficulty letting go of their past, who have flashes of their past memories coming to haunt them, I pray that you will deliver them. In Jesus' name, I cast away all of those things that are hindering people here from getting to you, Jesus, so that you can work in their lives and you can do the good work that you want to be done in their lives. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.